Well, do you guys want to talk about weirdness?
Yeah, let's dive in.
Bed recorder.
Okay. The weird.
The weird.
So, yeah, like, there are certain aspects of the game that, of Other M that weren't necessarily great and weren't necessarily bad, but were just, you know, either uncharacteristic or, you know, like, unexpected or, you know, something, like, if I were to make the game, I probably would have done away with. And one thing that I, like, found just to be weird was the need for those sequences where you're forced in the first person mode and you have to actually look around and kind of point at things in your surroundings until you can find the one thing that triggers the end of this sequence. I think everybody knows what I'm talking about when I bring up the point where it's right after Maurice dies, after the encounter outside of the training center. And
yes.
So, like, Maurice is dead, and he's laying on the ground, and the other three remaining soldiers are looking at him, and they're just basically saying, like, you know, he looks like a heap of rags, and then they're just standing there staring at him, and standing right there, and staring,
right,
and staring.
Repeating and animations. Staring.
And it took me a minute to realize that, oh, I'm supposed to do something. And it's like, can't you guys, you know, do something more than just stand there and stare at him? You know, put a blanket over him, give him a burial, say something in his memory, you know, because, like, you know, he's kind of your fallen comrade here. You know, and meanwhile, Samus, because it took me so long to figure out what to point at, like, basically, I could imagine this from the third person. You know, these guys are just standing there staring at a corpse, not doing anything, and Samus is just looking around like she's, you know, a kindergartner with ADD, just looking around in circles again and again and again and again, probably looking like a retard, until finally I realize I'm supposed to key in on the blood on the ground, and it's like, really? Like, that whole thing could have been done away with. I thought that was just weird.
Well, Anthony does at least try and wave you away from that, but...
yeah.
Yeah, I got stuck at that scene, and I think they could have definitely given more indications to the player supposed to do. And also, I mean, a lot of people are calling these pixel hunt because the what you have to click to focus on in order to get a good idea of what you're supposed to do, the hitboxes for these seem to be very small. And I mean, like, I can be looking at this object that's huge and it's like, oh, it's a space pirate hanging from the ceiling. I know it's a space pirate hanging from the ceiling, but why do I have to focus on this particular spot of the space pirate?
Right.
Yeah, and only when you focus on that particular spot does something actually happen. Yeah, like, another instance of that was, there's one, like, right before the fight with Ridley, where you're in a really dark room. And on my screen, it was mostly black, and I basically, like, I didn't even try. I just started waving around until finally I caught something that... moved me on to the next sequence, and
a magma eruption port.
Yeah, and when when I finally locked onto that, it was like, well, you know, why would I pick that out of everything else? What you know, what's supposed to draw me to that? You know, at least Metroid Prime would, you know, put some sort of like an icon on things that you can lock onto and scan, or later games would even like the entire object would be highlighted to indicate that you can scan it. Like, that made it easy to key in on things, and I think that could have helped these a little bit.
Maybe what they needed to do is play some of those old graphical adventure games where they have those pixel hunts, and it's literally the object is only one pixel big. There's a reason why those games aren't around anymore, and that's a very big reason why.
Yeah, and it's unrealistic for Samus to stand there for like 5 minutes, and only when she looks to her left does a Metroid finally decide to latch onto her, you know? I don't know, like, I thought those parts were just a little bit weird. Another thing about the game that it worked, but not as well as it could have, was the map system. And I know, like, it got the point across exactly, because I know the game's trying to combine 2D and 3D, and therefore give you a two-dimensional perspective on your map. But the way that certain areas were connected together on that Z-axis, on that third dimension, were a little confusing. It wasn't like the map used in like Super Metroid or Fusion or even Zero Mission, where you know, it's an exact square laid out on an exact grid for exactly where you're supposed to go. Also, like, the maps, when you go to the map screen, you couldn't look at it in full detail, and I understand that really you don't need to, but I always kind of like that about Metroid Prime, being able to go through and like look at every little... You look at a wireframe of the room and look at every little... Be able to acknowledge every crevice, every nook and cranny.
Yeah.
Whereas the map screen in Other M is kind of more generalized unless you're actually in the area.
Yeah, that kind of that reminds me. I was like, when I was playing, I had a similar situation, and I was looking in the user interface for something like they have in Zelda, where you kind of they have floor 1 and floor 2, and then you have a little icon of Link's head next to the floor. And
yeah.
I was looking for a little Samus head, so I could go to the next floor, which would have been nice.
Yeah, and again, yeah, that really wasn't bad in the grand scheme of things. When I went back through to get 100% of my items, I had no problem finding my way back to those places. So the map did its job.
Right.
And I think that was an intended simplicity, because it's pointless to have that level of control over or that level of detail.
Yeah.
Anything you guys thought was weird or iffy?
Yeah, I think I'll talk about something. The zero punctuation review of Other M really touched on this very well, and it was the fact that they just kind of forgot about the subplot with the deleter. It's just kind of like, deleter, huh? What was going on there? I don't know. All right, let's move on.
I assume that they actually kind of left that hanging, because Fusion had a couple of mysterious scenes where the mysterious G-Man in the tie, goes on
Mystery
and talks.
Mystery G.
What's that?
Mystery G.
The G-Man. It was kind of revealing that there's some conspiracy going on in the Federation, and maybe the deleter is related to this conspiracy, and maybe more will be revealed about him in a sequel. Who knows? Maybe they intended to do that,
yeah.
Or maybe they just forgot about it. Maybe they just hoped we would ignore it. I don't know.
Because I guess KG was he was the last person to get killed. He was the guy thrown in the lava, right? And then James was the deleter. Even though, the game never really says James is the deleter,
Yeah.
Yep. And then, of course, all the fans are like, some of them are like, well, KG is still alive. They never found his body. It's like, well, you kind of don't find a body if it was incinerated in lava.
Well, he could have woken up and frozen a Magdalite at the very last second and jumped off his head.
There you go.
Except there's no Magdalites in that part of the room.
Or so you thought.
You know something? Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm just forgetting something, or maybe I blanked out, but the scene where Adam, says his goodbye and he detaches with Sector Zero, do we ever actually see it explode? I don't know if I'm just forgetting something.
No.
Did he, crash course with a planet or a sun or something like that?
You never see cube explode.
Exploded on its own.
Yeah, because, but did we ever see this? Yeah,
no.
It's just like, she said, they say goodbye, and he just kind of floats away, and then Samus is all sad and then moves on, and it's like, well, yeah, reflection or something. I don't know. It's just, it wasn't very dramatic for me.
Yeah, it's that theme again, man. It's the theme of anti-climaticism.
Yeah, so I thought that was weird.
Weirdness.
One more thing, if I could chime that in, and then I'll pass the mic over to you guys. The Zero Suit sequence at the very end. I understand that it's not a Metroid game until you have to run the hell out and escape just barely with seconds, by the skin of your teeth. And I understand the Justin Bailey thing, playing in your Zero Suit, whatever, is cool, and it gives you a lot of challenge, because you're stuck relying on your self-defense pistol, and you're a lot more limber, and you don't have your heavy artillery, you don't have the morph ball, etc. I understand that, but their justification for why she was stuck in her Zero Suit when she was escaping, I mean, I know she's carrying Adam's helmet in her arm, but couldn't she have done that while wearing her power suit?
No.
Oh. Oh, okay, I'm good then.
Obviously.
That is the most definitive explanation I have ever heard.
I mean, and I know it's fan service, and I appreciate that, and it was cool. I still found it to be a really intense scene. It's just, I always kind of wondered about that.
Well,
but,
I,
hey.
I, I appreciated the fact that they threw that in there. But also, I was thinking that maybe she was, she felt that she didn't need her power suit at that time, you know? I mean, yeah. I guess it could have helped, yeah. Oh my god, there's space pirates running around everywhere trying to kill me, but, it kept one of her hands free, and it made her quicker, and it was pretty cool sliding underneath the stuff.
Yeah, so it was fun. I liked it.
Yeah.
Weird, but
I liked it. You can't hold a helmet once you've rolled into a morph ball.
Yeah, that too.
You'd have to, push it forward through the hole, and that's just no fun.
You're right, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that was...
Because when you're trying to get out by the skin of your teeth, you have to have fun while you're doing it.
Right. Well, also, maybe...
well, we got any other weirdness?
Oh, I think I'm sure a lot of the the fan service that was in there, the hidden bosses, like Fantoon's in there, Ridley's in there.
Nightmare came back.
And, the Zero suit, and Fantoon in particular.
Queen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Queen. Yeah, all these great... I mean, when the Queen appears, I was like, oh, no, they did not.
Yes, oh, my God, my jaw dropped when that happened. My jaw dropped. It was amazing.
See, and that's what I was talking about, the throwbacks. Like, they're even giving Metroid 2 love. And, Metroid 2 is like the black sheep and really is otherwise relatively forgotten. But, they're still kind of keeping its legacy really strong.
Yeah, totally.
And I, for obvious reasons, can really appreciate that. But that was cool.
When are you gonna do that? That streaming of a live stream play of Metroid 2. Speaking of which,
I'll have to find a weekend when I can sit down and spend a few hours doing that.
Yeah.
Just a matter of finding the spare time.
Right.
I'm a busy man. You
see. About 2 or 3 hours. I mean, you should be able to beat it in less than 2 hours. It hasn't been that long, right?
Oh, yeah, but, I'll spend a little bit of time, I'll probably explore just a little bit more for the benefit of the viewers, or, I don't know, maybe I could just...
Secret worlds.
Tempting.
Yeah, you should do that, totally.
Yeah, I've definitely put a lot of thought into it. It's just a matter of, getting my resources together for it. Anyway, unless you guys have anything else on the weird, I think we should start discussing our big announcement.
I think that's about it, though I would like to say that... Adam is able to use the elevators to get down to Sector Zero and therefore completely bypass the whole gravity room. Which, that gravity room was really cool.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, I loved that part.
I was kind of like ho-hum up until there was kind of this big jump where it was like awesome when you pick up the speed boots, the speed booster. And then it kind of goes down to ho-hum for a way, and then you jump into the gravity zone and it's like, whoa, this is really cool.
Yeah.
And I was thinking the other day during one of my replays, I'm like, now how the heck did Adam get through here? And he doesn't go that route. There's that elevator that you take down in the extra mission at the end that's a locked door with one of those bug things protecting it.
Yeah.
And you go down that and then you get into Sector Zero, and that's how we did it.
Oh, and Sidehoppers, man. The return of the Sidehoppers. I was so happy to see those again.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that made a reprisal that...
Wavers, and it was great.
Yeah. It was cool to kind of see some new... attack patterns for them too, especially the Gemurs, big time. Like, they're aggressive now. They were never aggressive before.
Right.
They're always very just very passive. They hurt you a little bit if you actually trip over them, but no, they're actually like jumping at you, coming at you in droves.
Right.
And those things are evil. They're like the scum of space. Just completely terrible.
Yeah. Those bastards. So. All right, we ready for the big announcement?
Sure. So, Ryan, you want to introduce it?
Sure. Well, our big announcement is we're having another contest! Woo!
Woo!
So the contest is Design Your Own Enemy. our contest will basically be design a Metroid enemy, a new Metroid enemy, and we will have all the details on the webpage. So be sure to, you know, start thinking of some pretty cool ideas, and we will have some awesome prizes to give out to you guys that I think everyone will enjoy.
Yeah, and also bear in mind, this is not a contest that is going to require you to actually create a tangible physical sculpture like our Create a Metroid contest, so this should be more accessible to a lot more people who may not be artistically inclined for sculpting, so be sure to check out our site once the details begin to surface, and I'm really excited. I think this will be a lot of fun.
Hell yeah.
Ooh, really yeah. Excited to see what ideas people can come up with.
Sweet. Yay.
Well, so that's all we have for you folks for this episode of Wave Beat.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Are you sure?
That is,
come
that's
on.
Absolutely it, right?
Come on, we can talk more about Other M, right?
Oh, we could go on all night, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, but, I did want to say, be sure to, you know, join us in our forums. There's a lot of good discussions going on. A lot of the overt negativity has kind of died down a bit, so yeah, feel free to join us in the forums and discuss us there. Anything else?
I'm good.
All right, you want to sign us off, Devin?
Well, that's what I was doing. So, Well, that about wraps up this episode of Wavebeam. So be sure to visit the Metroid database at www.metroid-database.com for all your Metroid needs. I'm Capcom.
I'm Infinity's End.
I'm Jesse D.
And thanks for listening. See you next mission.
I will tell you guys this. I think we've got a lot of things that we could add on as like a funny little hidden track.
Plenty. Too many.
My vote's the brain fart.
Brain fart? When was that?
Yeah. Yeah, and, I just had it. Yeah, so I think there's, like, one more, like, negative thing we might touch on, then let's move on to the weird.
What? We've talked enough about negative. What do you want to bitch about this time?
Point with those negative voids.
The music.
No, man, the music was fine.
What music?
It was just different.
So the original Metroid.
They had the original Metroid song.
On the title screen?
Yeah! They had Ridley's song was in there.
Yeah, those are all great, but we've heard those already.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
They have the Samus's piano song.
Yeah, Samus' piano song, yeah.
Anything, here's the question, is there anything new or original from this game that you remember? Is there any musical legacy it's left?
Piano.
You mean like new tunes?
Yeah, exactly.
That I find myself humming along to every now and then?
Yeah, to put it in TJ's words.
Right.
I don't know, that's pretty much the only other thing I really had to say negatively about Other M.
All right. Well, I see it this way. I think you have to pay your orchestra, right? You have to pay your composer. And they chose that composer. I'm sure they looked through a whole bunch of different people, and they picked that guy for whatever reason. And he did the best he could. Of course, I'm sure this guy wasn't a Metroid fan, you know?
Sure, yeah. And I'm not questioning their motives or their methods or anything like that. You know, I'm not here to say I could have done a better job. I'm sure I couldn't have, but I miss catchy tunes, you know? Too much ambience.
I don't think it took away from the game, honestly.
No, I don't think it took away from it, but I have the right to bitch and moan about it.
All right, man.
Like, even the ambience in Metroid 2, I have that memorized.
That also had the tunnel theme, too.
That's true. And I guess we can kind of toss that under the weird category.
Well, it's a legitimate complaint that people have had is the audio. But I honestly don't think... It's another one of these areas where there's a split. because you can look at some games like, say, the Resident Evil or Silent Hill, where there's a lot of audio in there, but it's very atmospheric, and it works very well. Is it something that I want to listen to outside of the game? Not really. I have a stressed enough life as it is to have to listen to horror music. Just doesn't do it.
All right, and I mean, like, all the games in the series are like that. That's the way it is. Cool. But, I mean, look at all the earlier soundtracks, and then look at, like...
Well, it wasn't X-Files, like Metroid Prime, which everybody was bitching and moaning about that to no extent.
Ooh, I got it. I got a perfect rebuttal for you, man. Yeah, but... it's another definition of the M. Other music.
Oh, no.
Oh, snap!
That was bad. That was bad. There are some tracks in there that I really like. Like, I like the theme of the biosphere and the pyrosphere, and just exploring the main sector. I really enjoy those themes. I mean, they're not hummable, but they're atmospheric, and they're something that just fills the space.
Right, yeah, they fit. They didn't destroy it by any means, but... Can you remember them?
Oh, I can't hum them, if that's what you mean.
I mean, like, you know, in your mind, can you play them back in your mind?
A little.
All right. That's what I'm getting at. Every single area in Super Metroid, you know, that had a lot of character that, like, I can remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even necessarily humming, but just, like, playing back in my mind, you know? Like, that was always a major part of the experience for me. The same thing goes for all the, you know, the Castlevania, the Castletroid games.
Listened to the soundtrack to the new Castlevania?
No, not yet. I haven't played it. Have you guys played it yet?
No. Lords of Shadow?
Yeah.
I haven't.
Yeah, I've got one friend who's bought it and played it, but I haven't asked him about it yet.
I did download the soundtrack, though. And the soundtrack, it's definitely a very high production quality. So it sounds like they use like a 120-piece orchestra for it. I'm not sure if they actually did an orchestra recording, but they've got all the instruments are there. They've got a wonderful choir. But the music, I can't really, you know, I just cannot find myself humming any of these tracks. And you compare this with, you know, Layman of Innocence, Symphony of the Night, all the way back to the original Castlevania. It was about hummable melodies that were also atmospheric. And there's only a handful of songs that I can actually listen to and find something in there that's hummable. And overall, the whole thing was just really a kind of disappointment.
Yeah, but here's something to think about. Do you think that the developers feel that hummable music is too cheesy or too childlike? Or not serious enough.
Right, yeah, and you know, like, everyone's got their priorities, and the developers don't feel it needs to be prioritized, and, I mean, it really, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't need to be, but and that's just always kind of been part of the experience for me, you know?
Sure, but I think that having melodic music, memorable melodic music, it's not serious enough, to put it bluntly, you know, or it's too happy, or it's too whimsical. You see
that's
what
a
I'm
good
trying
word.
To get at?
Was there? Mozart whimsical? A lot of the stuff that he wrote is hummable, and then you've got the...
No, you can't go there, dude. No, 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 no.
Yes, you can.
No,
yes,
you can. No way, dude. The reason you can't go there is because we're talking about a composer, one of the most influential composers compared to a video game.
Fine, John Williams then. Wars.
Those are movies.
Having strong. So same thing. Just because it's a movie, you know, is having a score that's hummable for a movie is that positive or negative? I don't think.
PG-13 movies.
It's one way or the other. It depends on the movie.
I don't know. Like I say, it doesn't ruin the game by any means. But
what
that's
about Halloween? That has a memorable score.
My parents wouldn't even let me watch that until I was like.
Yeah, that's so memorable because it's so repetitive.
Yeah, it actually sounds kind of like Ridley's theme.
Profondo Rosso. They had the Gremlins play the music for that.
The Gremlins, seriously, man.
This is high art we're talking about.
Okay, if you want to talk about high art, listen to Aliens 2, or Aliens, listen to the Aliens soundtrack.
Aliens was awesome.
Right, listen to the soundtrack. It was completely 100% atmospheric. It's a serious sci-fi movie, atmospheric soundtrack. You know exactly what they were going for. You know what Sakamoto was going for when he made Other M. He was going for complete, serious, super serious atmosphere. Even though, yes, you're a chick in a yellow spacesuit blasting aliens, still, he was going for a specific type of feeling.
And no, you can't take Metroid that seriously for the reasons you just described, but you know, he's trying to inject that sense of realism or you know, the sense
right. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not just trying to sit here and defend the music, you know. I'm seriously trying to say that if it was, you know, if it did have these melodies, it would have probably had that more of a whimsical feeling to it.
Probably.
And I think that's
probably it. Like I'm more of a whimsical gamer, and sure. You know, modern games are trying to be more serious. You know?
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to say. That's
right, so, I mean, it's purely subjective, and that's purely my own opinion.
I still think it just goes back to whatever kind of game that you are trying to make affects the type of score that you want to have in there. And part of it, too, this is an argument that I've heard where the Asian composers have tended to have melodies that are memorable, whereas Western composers have been more atmospheric, more in terms of, say, that film score where it's minimalist. And I'm not sure how much I buy that, because there are some fantastic scores written by American composers, but I think it just comes down to the type of game that they want to make. And that comparison with Alien, I think it is dead on.
Yeah, I agree.
Good?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so we're not even podcasting right now, are we?
No, we totally are.
I recorded a lot of that.
Okay, I mean...